So Pastor Scott, as most of you know, is one of the spiritual leaders at a Unidos en Cristo weekend, so he's not here today. And so I know that many of us have been holding him up in prayer. That's a wonderful event if you've not been to one of those before. So in preparation for that, one of the things that Scott was looking for was somebody to give the message today. And what's interesting is how Jason kind of got the word from God as to kind of put his hand up. Now, for anybody who has ever been up here to give a message, it's a bit of an intimidating task. Scott makes it look very easy. He does it so well. But Jason, come on up. So Jason has volunteered or been voluntold by God. You know what? But he stepped out in obedience. And there's just something to be said about that when you do that. And it's not an easy task because there's a lot of attack that happens and doubt and all kinds of things that run into your head. I know you've been working with Scott, and we're very, very excited to have you this morning. So let's just pray one more time for him real quick. So Lord, we thank you that Jason and his wonderful family, Lord, bless them. And just thank you for his words today, that you put this well ahead in place. So Father, just bring your anointing. We come against anything the enemy would try to do to interfere, to cause confusion. Lord, bring clarity and just give him peace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There we go. Okay. So good morning. What a mighty God we serve. I am definitely not Pastor Scott. I am Jason Pilcher. I'm a servant of the Heavenly Father. And I am not a public speaker or a pastor, so bear with me. I have to share about what happened and how I am honored to be standing in front of you all today. Back in March, I had a dream, a really weird one. And I was given a sermon. I don't remember what much else, but when I woke up, I was wondering, what in the world was that about? And don't you know, where'd I go? I lost it already. Don't you just hate it when God says, guess what? It's going to happen. And sure enough, Pastor Scott asked me to give a sermon. And I was like looking up at God like, really? You know, I see what you're trying to do here, but why are you doing this to me? I'm nobody, just ask somebody else. I was like, I don't want to do this, but I'm obeying because that's what God wanted me to do. So here I am. So as I get started this morning, I wanted to start off with a small story. Hopefully it's not too confusing here, but says a young woman brings home her fiancé to meet her parents. After dinner, her mother tells her father to find out about the young man. The father invites the fiancé to his study for a drink. He goes, so what are your plans? The father asks the young man. He goes, I'm a Torah scholar, he replies. A Torah scholar? Says, admirable, but what do you do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in that she is accustomed to? He goes, I will study, the young man replies, and God will provide for us. Okay, and how will you buy her a beautiful engagement ring as such as she deserves? Asked the father. I will concentrate on my studies, the young man replies, God will provide. And children? Asked the father. How will you support children? Don't worry, sir, God will provide, replies the fiancé. The conversation proceeds like this, and each time the father questions him, the young idealist insists that God will provide. Later on, the mother asks, well, how did it go? The father answers with a grin, bad news is he has no job, no prospects, but he thinks I'm God. I love that one. So Christians, as we see that the young man was trusting God with all that was going on in his life, funny thing is, we are hesitant to do this in our own lives, right? We live in a world where trust must be earned, and it seems to be in short supply. And if someone breaks our trust, we are very hesitant to trust them again. And we are even more scared to try to trust them. Well, how do you think God is with us? When we break his trust and go against him, does he get upset and have a pity party? No, he forgives us, and it was like it never happened. So, let's open up to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Give you all a second to find that. All right, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Most of us have faced disappointments which have taught us that we can only depend on ourselves. But living the life God has called us to means unlearning that lesson. Instead, we are meant to rest in God's understanding, but sometimes trusting Him completely can be very hard to do and very tough. So each day we must consciously lay aside our own plans, expectations, and surrender to His plans. I know that isn't easy, regardless of how we feel, but it will help us grow and learn us to trust Him more. So, I have a short video to play for y'all. Some of you probably seen it before, but it is a great reminder for all of us, and myself included. So I'll play that chair video.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but see, you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
So, brothers and sisters, God really wants us to trust Him with every aspect of our life. He doesn't want us part-time. He wants us completely. So let's go to Jeremiah 29. And then I'll give you guys a second to get there. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So, the Israelites were feeling God was against them, that He didn't really care about them or love them. But God has this awesome promise for them and us Gentiles as well. So here we see that God had to show the Israelites what life was like without Him. He had to let them struggle to learn to love Him. I know I can relate to that. There are many times I catch myself wondering the same things they did. You know, I find myself wondering, is God really there? Does He care? Especially when bad things happen. I feel horrible feeling that way. It makes me think that I'm a bad Christian. I want to believe that He is there, but I struggle with it, just like they did. In time, you get to a point where you just believe God is who He says He is, and take Him in His word. And it's a great relief when you get to that point. So we see right here that God doesn't go back on His promises. We need to trust God's word, no matter how we feel. If we continue to not trust Him, we can't be upset when the situation stays the same, and what you're going through continues as well. It's easy to give up and not to trust God because it takes work in refining your mindset. Focus on Him and don't worry so much because He is God and He is in control. Trust that He has your best interest at heart. So how can we really take God at His word and believe Him? Well, let's look at Numbers 23. And we're going to read 19 and 20. So I'll give you a minute to get there. God is not a man, so He does not lie. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Even Balaam knew this. A little background on Balaam. He wouldn't curse the Israelites, even though King Balak of Moab offered him money to do so. I mean, he tried to bribe him, and he still wouldn't do it. So I'm going to move over to quick Numbers 23:8. Now, this is Balaam speaking to King Balak. But how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn those who the Lord has not condemned? I mean, wow, even Balaam knew God kept His promises. We can trust God when He says He's going to do something. He will surely do it. You know, I remember back when I was 16, before I merely knew about God. You know, He had been trying to get me to see Him, but I was too busy. I was hooked on drugs and alcohol. He wanted to get my attention. Well, on December 18th, 1993, about 7:20 p.m., I remember that date clear. That's a night I'll never forget. I died from a heart attack. I was flatlined for 2 minutes. Doctor told my parents if it would have been 5 minutes later, I wouldn't have made it. Come to find out, I was born with a heart condition, and I had to make some life changes or I could die. So God asked me, do you trust me? And I said yes. But I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen or if I will, you know, be able to trust Him when I really didn't know Him. Then He said, let go of this life and I will give you a new one. God already knew if I continued that path that I was on, I was going to lead me to sorrow, hurt, and pain. He didn't want that for me, and neither did I. I just didn't understand why God would allow that to happen to me until much later. So I'm thankful it did happen, because if it wouldn't have, I probably would still be far away from God, still on drugs and alcohol, or not standing here for you today. I never thought I'd be given a sermon or knowing God and having Him in my life. I'm truly blessed for this opportunity to be here now at this moment. So moving on, James 1, verses 2 and 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God will let us go through struggles, but they can turn out to be blessings in disguise. He has a plan and a purpose in it. His ways are higher than ours. He will make it clear in His time, and you can understand why it happened. I know I sure do now. It's easiest to put ourselves first. When something good happens, we want to congratulate ourselves with a reward. When something bad happens, we want to console ourselves or find someone to blame. In other words, we often have the it's all about me attitude. I've been guilty of it as well. When I was let go from my job at 9 years, I kind of hit a rough patch. I was having pity parties, you know, woe is me, why me? What did I do to deserve this? I mean, we all have our times when we are vulnerable, right? That's when you get in the Word and remember who God is and remember that He is faithful, even when we are not. It took some time for me to get out of that poor attitude, but with my church family, and my wife and my kids, close friends, and especially God, the door opened up for me to get my current position where I've been for 2.5 years. All I had to do is my part, and God does His part. And we can see that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I want to take a look at Job. God let Satan take Job to test. And Job loved God and he trusted him. And we could see it. So I'm going to start reading Job 1, starting at verse 12. It says, "And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking. They were in the oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said that the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sebans fell upon them and took them down, or struck them down, and the servants with the edge of a sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Let's see, did I lose my spot? Okay, yeah. While we were yet speaking, there came another and said, Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robes, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave me, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. There are more things that happen as well. And each time, Job trusted God completely. I mean, if it was me, I'd really struggle with that. And each situation. I mean, wouldn't you? Satan took almost everything. His kids, his livelihood, his health. Yet Job did not curse God. He trusted that God had a reason. The good thing is God keeps his promises. And he did restore everything that Satan took from Job. Now when it comes to money, the struggle is even harder. I mean, look at Solomon. Solomon, who had quite a bit of wealth himself, knew that money didn't belong to him. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. I'll give you a minute to get there if you'd like to follow along. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Meaning, he wants the best of everything we do. Whether that be work, health, wealth, attitude, and attention. Well, you're thinking that really sounds like it's not going to be easy either. If we can trust God with the first of our wealth, we are truly showing how much we depend on him. Handing over the first of our paycheck, I mean, it takes a huge amount of faith. After all, but doing it so means that we are trusting God and we are putting our faith in him. When we face a difficult world each day, we can sometimes wonder if God even cares. Why do bad things happen? And why do they happen to me and others? Where is God when I need him? Which is why God also provides us with a church family to help support us through it all. Keep looking to him, and then one day you will get the answers. Then you can look back and see how it worked out. Know that God will not leave us to figure it out on our own. God says to trust him. Proverbs 3:12 says, Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Even in the midst of turmoil, God sticks with us. And he uses those challenges to shape us. When we understand that, our perspective completely changes. No longer do we see our mistakes and failures. We see them as moments when God, as our loving Father, works on us. And that's exactly why we can trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. He cares for us each and every day. He gives us what we need to thrive. He pours blessing after blessing upon us. Trusting God takes a wholehearted commitment from dusk till dawn. But we're never in it alone. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I mean, that's a promise. You can take it to the bank. It's a done deal. We're never alone. And it's spelled out there right in that verse. So I want to look at Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9. And I'll give you a minute to get there if you want to follow along. I'm bouncing around a lot, sorry. Before I get started, as I was looking at this and preparing my message, I mean, I found like 40 verses just on trust alone. I mean, it's just like, take your pick. What do you want to go with? So, all right. "Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So we can see here that God knows all things. His ways will lead us down a better path. If we trust him, we may not understand it at the time, or why he allows us to go through some pain and hurt, but he will get us through it. We need to trust him. I mean, I know for a fact it's not easy. God never said it will be, or once you become a Christian, your life will be perfect and you'll never have any problems, and they will never go away. He says, get to know his character, and you will see him come through. We need to release control to him. His ways are better than ours. I mean, it's too easy to have all the control to yourself. His ways are better than ours. I mean, it's just written plain as day. Okay. You know, I get it. I was in the same boat. I didn't want to do it. But once I started to trust him, I've seen all of the amazing things that God has done. Especially in my life, yep, the good and the bad. I trust him, though, at all, because I know that God is in control. That's the key here. God is in control. All right, so he wants the best for me, and I want that for all of you. I want you to have that open, trusting relationship with God that he wants from us all. Look at who he is and who he says he is and what he's done for us. God will always be there, like I said before. We may not see it right away, but in time, it will be revealed to us. It's not easy, but it is worth it. So wrapping this up today, look ahead to the future, because your stories will come from your struggles. The seeds of your successes are in your failures. Your praises will be made from your pains. Keep standing. I've never seen a storm last forever. Seasons change. So no matter where you are in life, know that you can trust in our Heavenly Father. God never commanded you to trust people. God commanded you to love people and trust him. Know the difference.